Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here it is once more and again, Wednesday night Bible study with your host, Diane Adams, representing the company, The Words of Wisdom, our Blog Talk Radio station. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come to you each and every week. And I thank God, and I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come so that we can explore the Word of God together. What I'm going to do right now, I'm going to go ahead on and play a song for those who have their Bibles out. Our lesson is going to come from the book of Matthew, the 4th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verse. And the title is, If Satan Tempted Jesus, What About You? So right now, after giving God the praise and the honor and thanking him for the opportunity, I'm going to go ahead on and play a song. Once this song is completed, we're going to come right back and go directly into the lesson. Be blessed.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left. I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to take me to the King.
and that was Take Me to the King. As always, again, I tell you that is a pleasure for you guys to call back every Monday night. Wednesday night. Monday night is a different Bible study. But I thank God for each and every one of you. And I thank God that he allows my grandson to call into the program and be the prayer warrior for us, that he goes to God to intercede for our behalf. And I see that his number's on the line, and I'm fixing to let him pray. And if those who weren't in here when I told you a scripture, I pray that you have your Bibles. You know, this is a Bible study, and when you study, you have books. Your book for this study is the Bible, and we're coming from the book, one of the books in the Bible, which is the book of Matthews, and the Bible have books and they have chapters, and we're going to be in the fifth chapter, and the chapters has verses, and we're going to be in verse 1 through 11, and the name of the title, If Satan Tempted Jesus, What About You? So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and open a mic for Madison. And if anyone else would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. And once Madison get through, I'll allow your line to be open. But at this time, Madison, your mic is open. How you feeling today, darling?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How was school today?
Nice.
Good. Would you like to say anything to the people tonight?
Yes, I hope you like the lesson and your ears are open so you can get every aspect of the lesson.
And are you ready to pray?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead, son.
Father, thank you. Thank you for this Wednesday that people are able to listen to the broadcast right now and just listen to your son's life at the Bible, Old and New Testament, bringing us closer to you. So when we get in heaven, if they have any questions, we can ask you, God. Thank you. And please let our ears be open to listen to the lesson, like every aspect, and hear it good. And please let the people continue staying on and just get the lesson and go tell others, because that's what Jesus done when he was on earth saving people for their sins and died on the cross just for us. Thank you. And God, while we're listening, please give us like different ways to ask questions after the broadcast when people need to try to like say something, saying that you've been listening to the lesson. Please, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. Will you be able to listen to the lesson in a little bit, or you have to go do your homework?
Actually, I got to take my bath.
Okay. Thank you, darling, and I'll talk to you soon. Love you. And as always, I'm proud of you, and I pray that God keep building a fence around you, that you could grow up and be the man that God created you to be. But you just keep on listening and reading and studying the Word of God, and I guarantee you're going to have success in your life. Thank you so much, Madison, and as always, I love you. As always, I love you. I cut his mic off. Okay, here we go into the lesson. Tonight's lesson, like I said, is if Satan tempts Jesus, what do you think he'll do to you? We're coming from Matthew's, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 11. And, you know, I always do a background. So since I was talking about Jesus being tempted by Satan, tonight I decided to use and give a little update on Satan and who he is. You see, typically human beings have a wide variety of views of Satan. Some think of him as a silly, cartoonish character with a pointed tail and horns, while others think of him as a force or an abstract concept of evil. The Bible gives us very clear picture of who Satan is, what he is like, and his goals and aims concerning humanity. You see, in a nutshell, Satan was once a holy angel. Yes, he was. But he fell from heaven because of a desire to take by force God's power. And he is now God's enemy who opposed God, his purpose, and he opposed his people. So don't you ever take time or ever sit back and just relax and allow, think that Satan likes you or Satan ain't tempting you or you above his temptation. Tonight we see that he tempted Jesus, and the question is, what about you? You see, Satan is real, and his aim is to kill, to steal, and destroy any and everything that is good. Now, you know, we think about some things with Satan that sins in our lives that we may commit. And when we are committing sin, you know, of course, we're doing things that's against God. But Satan tried to destroy everything that's good. He could be destroying a marriage. You know, that's not sin, but because it's good, he don't want to see it. So he causes you to sin that helps to destroy the marriage. Listen to what I'm saying. Satan tried to destroy any and everything that is good. You know, Satan's name when he was a holy angel was Lucifer. Yeah, he had a name. That was the name, Lucifer. And we get a description of Satan as one of the cherubim angels, and that was the most beautiful of all the angels, and they held the highest rank. Yeah, that's where he was. However, he became proud of his beauty. That was some beauty, huh? He became proud of his beauty and the position, and for some reason decided he wanted to take God's place and sit on the throne as the highest being. But that wasn't going to happen. Because of his pride and sinful desire to take the sovereignty, which is only rightfully belongs to God, he was cast out of heaven. Satan's desire for power was very strong. It was very strong. You know, when Satan was kicked out of heaven, pushed out of heaven, fell out of heaven, all of those ways describe how he got out of heaven. Because we see now, because what he wanted, that wasn't going to happen. You know, when Satan decided to leave heaven, one third of the angels in heaven followed him. You know, I guess sometimes God has to look around and say, you know, no matter what he do, it's never enough. You know, we feel like that sometime in our lives with people and relationships that we have with people, our family, friends, maybe neighbors, coworkers, or whatever. You know, sometime no matter what you do, it don't seem like it's enough. But I come to tell you tonight, you know, God, you know, may have felt that way because he had created the angels. They was beautiful. They was in a heavenly realm. And when one messed up, 13, one-third, followed him. So we have to just keep going on. And just like God continued to love us, we have to just continue to love people and accept people for who they are. You see, today Satan is the ruler of this world, and he's called the prince of the power of the air. When I say that usually in teaching, I usually have to back it up with so much scripture, because people saying, you know, you saying he's the ruler of this world. Yes, he is. Study your scriptures. I could give them to you if you want them. He's not in total control. But because of man's deprived nature, he have reign. Just imagine if God was totally just running the world. We wouldn't have all of this unbelievable, you know, crime and murder and sexual abuse and killing children and just on and on and on. Is that the characteristics of God? But Satan, no, he just have a little time. And even with the power that he have here on earth, it is limited because God is in control. He is also the accuser. You know, and he tempt humans to sin against God as he did. See, he's showing you what he did. But we see the results of what he did. You know, Jesus came and died and resurrected, and we got the victory. So he lose, but he's still trying. You know, he ain't going to give up. You know, he still, I guess he have hope, you know, or whatever. And he deceived humanity about the truth, especially about the truth of God himself. You see, he lies about God's character and purpose, and he tells the fallen humanity, us the people who do it any kind of way when we want, like we afforded the privilege to do it as we want to do, and God's got to accept us. But he done told us so many lies. He tells us that we can save ourselves without God's grace. You know, yeah, you want to commit that sin. Maybe you want to have that habit. Maybe you want to do whatever you want to do. After a while, you just start wondering, and you see what he does. He try to take and make his perception ours. And you see the only place he could play in our head, and once he get in our head and that perception is there, if we let it stay there too long, then we start accepting it. And after a while, we don't even remember how it got there. But whatever that perception is dealing with, no matter what it is, it becomes our reality. And then you take whatever that thing is, whatever you are doing or whatever you're not doing, and I guess you probably make excuses. And you done justified it within yourself, so your reality now is tainted by the perception that Satan has given you. You believing that is yours, and you know you think because it's your reality that is right. But I come to tell you, all reality don't just because it's a reality, it don't mean that it's right, because if it's a reality, that's just saying what's real to you. It don't mean what's real maybe to others or your job or the Bible, whatever. It's not lining up, and it don't make sense to nobody but you. You have to remember, Satan is behind all of the false religions, false teachers, cults, and all of the false gods and the lies that pull people away from God. You see, Satan is even disguising himself as an angel of light, which makes his deception all more powerful. However, despite his claims and all of his efforts, Satan's destiny, and I'm going to say this twice, Satan's destiny is irrevocably sealed. He lose. Will never win. And he will spend his life in eternity. He will spend his eternity in the lake of fire. The victory will never be his. Satan can only do to you what you allow. Because if he could do more, let's think about it. He would. You know, plenty of times, you know, Satan get me sometime because, you know, the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. But, you know, I tell him a lot of other times. I tell him, man, if you didn't get me when I was out there, you don't need to think you're going to get me now. Because if he had the power, when you wilding in your sin, all he got to do is sip you up. Because your sin is going to separate you from God. But he don't have that power. When he went to test and tempt, when he went to test Job, God told him, don't take his life. And when he did some things to Job and wanted to do some more, he had to go back and counsel with God. That's telling you Satan can do some things, but God has to allow it. And again, I say Satan can only do to you what you allow, because if he could do more, we know he would. Stop giving him so much credit to people. You know, people go around, oh, they come in church and they come late. Oh, that devil was busy today. You know, your lights get cut off. The devil is busy. The devil ain't busy. You ain't pay your bill. You got to watch what you say. You say that around your children. Now all they're going to be saying is the devil, the devil, the devil. This. But we got power over Satan. Don't give him that much credit. You know, understand what's going on. Some things in your life that happen, some of them are the devil. Some of it is by God, and some of it is by you. That's why you have to examine yourself and see what part you played in it. But let's try our best to understand who Satan is and keep him in his place. Because if you don't, he'll get you out of position to receive what God has for you. And that was our summary on our, the background. And as we go on into this lesson, I'm going to give you a little introduction because I want to bring you right there. You see, Jesus had just been baptized by John the Baptist, who thought he was unworthy to baptize Jesus. This is what John the Baptist said. He said, I have need to be baptized of thee. See, John the Baptist understood his position and he understood God's glory. John the Baptist had been waiting for Jesus and he had a sign. And when Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens was opened up unto him. And John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God ascending like a dove and lighting on him. And then a voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's the things that had happened. Jesus got baptized. After he got baptized, you know, he went on to get... Soon after he got baptized, you see, Jesus had got baptized before he started his ministry. So Jesus now got baptized, and he's going to start to go get his start his ministry. But before that happened, he's tempted. Jesus is then tempted by Satan. So let's look at this a little while. If we go to the fourth chapter, for those who have your Bible, in the first verse, it said, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." I didn't even catch this tonight. You know, I've been working on this paper for a couple of days, but I didn't catch this till tonight. But they say, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan." See, when you look at this thing, as we go through this lesson, keep this in mind. Everything that God orchestrates or allows is for his purpose and his glory. Even when you read a script, you got to say what it's saying. You got to stop and really look at it. You got to ask the Holy Ghost to give you illumination and revelation. But when I read this, you see, Jesus was led up by the Spirit. So the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. See, all that's a part of God's plan. So when you read through this, you have to see how God is going to work with Jesus and what Jesus, how Jesus is going to work with Satan, and realize what God did for him, he'll do it for you, and how Jesus overcame Satan is the way you could overcome too. Hallelujah. And then after that, they say he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." But he answered and said, this is Jesus telling him now, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." We see this, but look what the first verse says. The Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness to be tempted. So this, I'm telling you, nothing helped. You know, takes God by surprise. He fasted. He was hungry. Satan met him, tried to get him to do what he wanted. Jesus put the word of God on it. You see, Jesus was not tempted inside of the temple or at his baptism, but in the desert where he was tired, alone, and hungry. And as Satan thought, most vulnerable. You see, this is the same way that Satan often tempts us. You know, many times when we are vulnerable, when we are under physical and emotional stress, for example, when times when you are lonely. You know, just on yesterday, I had a lady come to my house and knock on my door, and I opened the door, and she fell in my arms. and she was crying, and you know, she wanted help, and after she explained and everything, she was just lonely. So it's real, y'all. And see, in these times is when Satan wants to strike, because you see, he know his power is limited, but he figured if he could bring you down or catch you when you down, he'll have a better chance. You see, what I was saying was, you know, when you, for example, when you're lonely, tired, or you're weighing a big decision, you know, sometimes you have this big, big decision, and you know, they always tell us to take it to God in prayer. You know, and we take things to God, and we don't realize or understand how long we're supposed to wait for the answer, so sometimes it's taking too long, you know. And you have them decision, and sometimes you take it in your own hand. You know, are you faced with the uncertainties of this life? You see, Satan causes us to worry, which brings us and causes us to fear, which we know that the scriptures say God is not a God of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I want to tell you, the trick of Satan is that he takes fear. Sometimes it's only the evidence of something that may appear to be real. You see, this is what he do. You know, somebody come and tell you something before you get all of the answer, all of the evidence, all of the information, you just go into strict panic. People don't realize panic is a form of fear. You're not scared that the monster's going to come in or somebody fixing a home. That's the feeling you get in your stomach, and your heart start palpitating, and your mind start racing, and then at night you can't go to sleep. I'm talking about that kind of fear. You know, but sometimes that, you know, because you got a report, but you don't have all of the report from the Lord, but you go into this fear move, this fear factor come up on you. And when that happens, you don't think straight, and you don't, you know, and all of that. But sometimes fear is only the evidence of something that may appear to be real. How many times you done freaked out about what somebody done told you, and the fear factor came in, and you probably got palpitations on your heart, and you got all of this going on, you sweat, you pop, you worried, can't sleep. And then when tomorrow come, they say, girl, it wasn't even what I thought. It was the evidence of something that appeared to be real. And my motto is, don't panic till it's time. But you see, Satan want to catch you in these times. But he also tempts us through our strengths. Because you see, in our strength, that's where we're most susceptible to pride and self-accomplishments. You see, sometimes our strengths make us believe that we did it all by ourselves without the help of anyone or anything. Here we see that Satan has nothing new. He don't have no new things. He get us with these, and I'm going to tell you the things that he get us with. But watch out for your, you know, in your strengths and your weakness. You got to be God conscious in them all, because your strength might make you get too prideful. Come on now. And your weakness make you more vulnerable. But you see, Satan has nothing new to offer. He only has one bag of tricks that he used over and over and over and over again. You see, the scripture in 1 John 2 and 16 said, for all that is in the world. Now, this is the things that's in the world, and Satan is of the world, so he can only use the things of the world. But these three things that are in the world is what sink ships, destroy nation, separate marriages, oh, Lord, make enemies, and have failed relationship, and everything. And watch what they are. This scripture is in 1 John 2 and 16. You can look it up for yourself. It says, for that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three things is going to always be in the ingredients, because he only can deal with the things of this world. Now, we know flesh is not, flesh has a purpose, but in and of itself is not bad, but flesh make you want of fleshly things. Sexual perversion, that's the flesh. Overeating is the flesh. Not taking care of your body, that's the flesh. See, flesh is going to crave for fleshly things, and that's where our sin is. You know, addiction is the flesh wanting it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the part with the flesh. And then you got the lust of the eyes. You see it and you want it. King David was on his porch, on his rooftop, and he saw Elizabeth, he saw Bathsheba across the way. He saw her, she looked good, and he wanted her. The eyes. You know, somebody got a lot of money and you want money like them. So you trying to find out ways to get the money. To, you know, feed your eyes. What they say, big eyes. You know, we used to tell children, you got a big stomach, big eyes. I can't remember right now. But you got to watch your eyes. Everything that you see and everything that is not for you. But you see the lust of the eyes. You know, man, a man would have a wife, or a wife would have a husband. And, you know, they see somebody else and they say, oh, that looked like eye candy or whatever. And because they see it, then, you know, they admire it maybe in a little bit wrong way, and Satan into your head and say, oh yeah, you could have that, you could get that if you try, you know. And then all of this perception and foolishness get in our mind, because remember, Satan can only play in our head. And then we got the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. You see, Satan used these tactics over and over again, the flesh, the eye, and pride. The Bible teaches us that we are in the world, but not of the world. Satan used the things of the world. And here in this particular verse, when he tried to get Jesus to turn the bread, the stone into bread, he's using the lust of the flesh. You see, Jesus knew that food was important, and he was hungry and tired. Because, you know, fasting for 40 days ain't no minor thing to do, you know, but Jesus did it. And after the 40 days of his fast, you know, you need to be replenished. But you see, Satan used the lust of the flesh, which, you know, in this particular case was hunger. You know, the hunger, flesh, let me tell you another thing, another verse, and it just came to my mind. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In the Bible, they had, Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Esau, they were twins. And back then, the oldest child have all of the birthrights. And Esau was the twin that came out first, which they say his brother had his hand on his foot. But Esau came out first, and so he was in position to receive all of the inheritance. He was the firstborn. He was in his position. And one day he got hungry, and he came home, and his brother used to be with his mom more than him, and his brother was cooking, and he asked his brother for a bowl of that food, and his brother told him, I'll give it to you if you sell me your birthright. And you know, that was the lust of the flesh, you know, acting out really. You know, it just came to my mind, and he sold his birthright for a bowl of food. Because, you see, it didn't make sense, and that's what Satan make you not make sense. He said, what sense do it make me to sit here and starve, which, you know, I'm sure he wouldn't have starved that quickly, but what good is an inheritance if I starve right now? And he sold his birthright to Jacob. And then Jacob became the leader of the 12 tribes. Well, his name was changed to Israel, and that's where the 12 tribes of Israel come from. And that's why we have to be careful. That's just one incident I thought of just now, but I see where Satan tried to use that on Jesus and try to give him that food, you know, give him that food for him to do what he wanted, to show him what he was working with. You see, Jesus knew that the food was important, but his allegiance to God was greater. You see, the temptation by the devil showed that God, that Jesus was human. This is so important. You know, when I say that God used everything together for his good, and that when the scripture started, it said that he was tempted, he was brought into the mountain by the Spirit. See, God wanted to show us, because this was in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he wanted to show and let us know that Jesus was fully man, but he was fully God. And by Jesus being hungry and tired, it lets us know he's human. How you like God now? That is so sweet. You see, Satan tried to set Jesus up, but God used it for his good. You know, this gave Jesus the opportunity to reaffirm, you know, Jesus was always talking with the Father, but now he's being tempted, so it's a time to show your dad what you're working with. So this gave Jesus the opportunity to affirm God's master plan for his ministry. You see, don't be concerned so much with the temptation, but how to overcome it. You see, temptation is not a sin. We sin when we give in and disobey. You see, Satan can only put thoughts in our head, and a thought in and of itself is not the problem. But it's what you do with the thought once you receive it. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that again. Satan can only put thoughts in your head. And a thought in and of itself, no matter how bad or how good it is, a thought in and of itself is not the problem. But what you do with the thought once you receive it. You know, Satan always tried to use this, the if game. If thou be the Son of God. And that's what he told Jesus. But he tell you sometime, if God really loved you, why would he allow certain things to happen to you? Or why would he allow things to happen to your loved ones? What happened with you on your job? Or your finances is not straight and now your health is going bad. Why? If God loved you. You see, he tell you, if God loved you, why you ain't got? Why you ain't in charge? Why you ain't? You see, he used that. You see, when he comes to us with the if game, if God, do just as Jesus did, use the word of God, which is your strength. And that's what Jesus did. And then he told him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And you know, the words that's proceeded out of the mouth of God is the word of God. So we need the word. We need food for our physical body, but we also have to feed our spiritual body. And if we look at the 5th and the 6th and the 7th verse at this time, they say, then the devil, taking him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou, here you go with that if game again, y'all, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See what Satan was doing now? He took him on top of the pinnacle, which is very high, of the temple, and he brought him there, and he said, you know, if you're the Son of God, you know, just jump off of here. You know, and you know, without something catching you, you would probably die. But since you say you're the Son of God, you fall down, and God's going to have to send the angels to pick you up before you put it the stone. And then you know, I guess he wanted to say, I'll see what you're working with. But Jesus told him, shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see what was going on? Again, we see that even Satan knows the scripture. And he tried to tempt Jesus with them. God is not our musician in the sky, ready to perform on request. Satan will give you a scripture, but never the fullness of it. Why would Jesus cast himself down, which would tempt God to respond? Jesus said again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see, Satan was telling Jesus to do this and see if the scriptures was true. The Bible said God never tempt, but he do test us. Jesus knew who he was. See, that's a big problem with a lot of people. People are walking around not knowing who they are. They're living in confusion and everything else. People don't know who they are. You see, Jesus knew who he was and what the scripture really saying mean. That's the other part. We do not know the scriptures for ourselves. We are not studying enough. We are not in them enough. We're not listening to God speak to us. You see, Jesus knew who he was, and he knew what the scriptures really say is and mean. You see, Satan wanted Jesus to become prideful and show he could make God do what he wanted him to do, when he wanted him to do it, and how he wanted him to do it. And you know, everybody who know God should know these attributes about God. God does what he wants, when he wants, why he wants, for who he wants, because he's God, and he could do that, because he have all power. You see, but that's what Satan wanted Jesus to do. You see, we are not to tempt God by doing things our way and thinking God has to respond or deliver. Or deliver us the way we want him to do or think he should do or when he should do it. We have to stop. We tempt God. Yeah, Lord, I know it's not right, you know, to do this right now, but you've been all right with me, and I know, you know, you're going to make it right, and you're going to protect me because you say it in your word. That's like Satan used the word wrong, you know. But, you know, we go through that, but you're not to tempt God. You see, God is in total control, and we should never forget it. The devil used scripture to try to convince Jesus to sin. This is the same way in which Satan gets us to sin sometimes with misquoted scriptures and non-truthful statements. You see, sometimes people will present an attractive, convincing reason why we should try something we know is wrong. I don't know if that ever happened to you, but the problem in this world today is the way in which the Bible is interpreted. You see, I could tell y'all a little thing, and I'm going to make it quick because we're running out of time. But there was a guy that was trying to, I ain't going to even say date me, but you know how people want you for whatever they want you for. I'll put it like that. And he told me that it was all right for a man and a woman to have sex. You know, if they weren't married, you know, they wasn't dating or whatever, you know, just to have sex, because he said that when two people agree on sex and if they of the right age, that everything with it is right, no matter what you do, how you do it, why you do it, how many times you do it. And he went on to tell me that. Now, this was a Christian man. He was a big-time deacon in a church. But, I mean, I didn't have to be a rocket scientist to know that's not what the Word of God said. But he gave me that. He presented what I just said. He presented, or he thought he presented an attractive, convincing reason why I should try something that I know was wrong. You see, part of the problem in the world today is the way the Bible is interpreted. People always find a way to make a scripture support their viewpoint and even their habits. I'll give an example with that. Like people say, you know, I don't need to go to church because the church can't save you. Well, everybody know that the church don't save you, But you're going to take the scripture which God said he established fellowship. He established the church in the books of Acts. Now, grant you, I'm not saying every church is a good church. But if God can't have a church that can help you with your needs in this big, wide earth, something ain't right. If you trust God everywhere you go, you're not going to like everything you see. And I tell people all the time, if you find a perfect church, don't tell it to me, because when I get there, it won't be perfect. We cannot make what God established and said for the church not to be right because we want to make it our own views. You can't add nothing, or you can't make up a scripture yourself because you're not God. That's just one example, you know, and I'm just giving examples, and it don't fit everybody, but I'm telling you about the word of God and interpretations and how people want to make it fit their viewpoints and even sometimes their habits. You see, wrong is not made right for you. You see, people usually tell the story that best fits what they want the listener to believe about them. Come on now. That's the way they tell a story. And that is so true because, you know, when I learned that, I checked myself out. That makes them feel the best about themselves. Study the Bible careful for yourself, especially the broad context with specific verses, so you can understand God's principle for living and what he wants for our life. If you don't study for yourself, you would only have the interpretation and opinions of others. And that's what so many people hear. They done heard the word somewhere, TV this way, grandma this one, and they just stand on it with so much conviction. And if they heard it wrong, they got it wrong. And even if they heard the scripture right and don't understand the interpretation and don't study and the Holy Ghost don't work with them, you don't have it, and you could be misled. Only if you really understand what the Bible says, you will be able to recognize error and interpretations, error of interpretation, when people take verses out of context and twist them to say what they want to say. God has provided us with the Holy Ghost for illumination and revelation. You know, like I say, I pray daily for the Holy Ghost to give me illumination and revelation. Daily. And I tell y'all all the time, I don't know it all. I can only give y'all information. The Holy Ghost has got to give you illumination and revelation. You see, the Holy Ghost can only work with you with what you have put in. If you put a little bit in, he could just work with a little bit. If you just put a little bit in, you can only get a little bit out. You know? And if we look at the 8th verse, and it says, again, the devil take him up into the exceedingly high mountain and show him all of the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. You see, sin make promises that it could never deliver. And if you receive any sin make promises it could never deliver. And if you receive any pleasure, it's only temporal and most of the time very short-lived. If you look around and see the effects of sin, you notice the pattern. And what the Bible teaches, if you learn from someone else's sin, you may not have to suffer the same consequences for the same sin because you didn't saw the effect. Come on now. Satan will set you up, use you up, until you hit rock bottom in the sin, no matter which sin it is. I'm talking about any of them. I ain't picking on no one. Then he drops you like a hot potato and leave you high and dry to handle the outcome by yourself. He's nowhere to run. You don't have nowhere at that point to run, and you have nowhere to hide. You exposed. Sin will always expose you. And then you see, that's when Satan leaves. You see, Jesus knew that the devil did not have the power to give him the kingdoms or anything else because he came to steal, kill, and destroy. Only God, the creator of the world, had total control over them kingdoms that Satan was showing him to say he'll give them to him. Come on now. Don't Satan tell you that they'll, you know, man, you go sell him drugs, I promise you, I'll make you a millionaire. Sin makes promises it can never deliver. Man, I tell you, go get some money and give it to that fine lady and she gonna be with you. Yeah, but your money might run out. Come on now. Look at the patterns of sin. You see, Satan, the prince of this world, based that office to Jesus on his temporary control of free reign over the earth because of man's sinfulness. You see, Satan was using the sin of the lust of the eyes and the power to entice Jesus. The devil offered the whole world to Jesus if he would only bow down and worship him. Jesus again used the word of God, "For thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve." You have to know it to use it. Come on now, y'all. Today, the devil offered the world to us by trying to entice us with material things, vain pride, and limited power. Come on, y'all. We fill our days with many distractions, and we are so busy that we don't have time for the things of God. And I ain't never say you, I say we. We must examine ourselves to see what we are giving first place to in our lives. You see, some people are so busy with spiritual things that they are no longer earthly good. Ha ha. You may be so spiritual that you believe that you have arrived, which will allow pride to step in, and you're now living a self-righteousness life, not the righteousness of God's life. There's a difference. Some people are so holy you can't tell them nothing. And all they do is point at people's sins all day, but they forget the point about theirs. Examine yourself. We are not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. There is a place where Satan loves for you to be when you're making it up as you go. God wants us to have a balance in all things. You know, and I think about that, I got to throw this in. We talk about balance. They had a lady on the TV today, and she was a health nut, you know, eating healthy food, and she was a vegan, and she had them started minimizing her diet so much, y'all might have saw it on the news, so she had to develop a disorder. You know, it takes balance. Balance. Too much of anything could not be good. Jesus understood God's purpose, his plan, and timing. We should understand the same for our lives. And as I close tonight, you see, God inspired man to write the Bible. And he allowed these scriptures to be included. You know, have you ever read the Bible and say, I wonder why, you know, this is in a Bible? Try to get its purpose. Try to give what God is trying to tell you. You see, Satan was trying to distort Jesus' perspective by making him focus on worldly power and not on God's master plan before the foundation of the world. Again, I told you, Jesus knew who he was and his purpose. And we got that same opportunity. We need to know who we are, and we can understand our purpose if we ask God. After Jesus had stood his ground and used the word of God, defeated the devil, God smiled down on him, and the scripture says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angel came and ministered unto him. you have to keep in mind as I close, if God did it for him, he will do it for you. But we must do as Jesus did. And no matter what Satan is trying to do, if you check out the last two chapters in the book of Revelation, it'll show you that he don't win. That victory is already ours. Jesus took the sting out of death. You are now a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things are new. Hallelujah. God has a master plan for each and every one of our lives, just as well as Jesus came with a master plan. So I pray that this lesson was good for you. I hope there was just at least something that you could learn on or rest in. I pray that God's word won't return void. I pray that that word accomplish everything that it set out for. I pray that you open your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul with a spirit of expectancy, expecting for the word of God to make a difference in your life, expecting that the word of God would be food for your soul, expecting that the word of God become real and that the Holy Ghost illuminate and revelate in your life what you have already learned so that you could truly understand what this God is saying to you. I pray that that word is something that you could hold on to. I pray that you have a desire to meditate on it. Go to your Bibles. You got the scriptures. And meditate on what God is saying to you. I pray for that, for each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. Right now is 9:28. And if anybody would like to say something, you could say it at this. You could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open up the line, and you could speak. If nobody would like to say anything, we could. It's 9:29. We could go ahead and I'll play a song, and after the song, we could close the. The lesson, and I just pray that each and every one of you be blessed as the week come in, that God meet you at all of your needs. Pray for health and wealth. Pray for healing. Learn to pray for one another. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God.
I'm dedicated
to everyone.
Here we go!